Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Oh, that song will never not hit. Doesn't matter if we're in the playoffs, not in the playoffs. It will always be, in my opinion, the greatest intro in radio history. For as far as I'm concerned. I've heard a bunch of them. That gets me every time. Good morning. Welcome in. Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. I wanted to thank you guys for being here for us. As much as you know, you tell us we're here for you, you guys are here for us as well. And in these weird times, certainly, where, you know, the team is out of it, there's still baseball going on. So nice to see familiar faces pop into the chat early, you know, be active on Twitter and social media, the phones, everything that we need from you guys. You guys always deliver. So thank you for that. I'm Woodsy. That's Paul Reindel. He's the executive producer. Good morning, Paulie.
Hey, how are you?
Doing great. Ben Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor, golfer extraordinaire. Got a little, shot a little 81 yesterday. Feels good to get back on the horse.
Let's call it the silver lining to the Padres playoff exit.
You're 81?
I mean, it's a big dark cloud, obviously. But
right.
The silver lining is that...
Was that you shot an 81?
Well, I got a day off yesterday, which I would not have had.
You would not have had.
And, you know, I was able to play golf for the first time in almost a month and actually played pretty well, which is almost frustrating because I'd been working so hard on my game during the summer and just constantly got worse. Like, every single month I got a little bit worse. The more I worked, the worse I got.
Yeah.
And then... shut it down for a month, focus on the playoffs, just working pretty much every day, pick up the clubs for the first time, really, and then play a lot better. And it's like, all right, this is, you know, we sit here and we talk about, you know, professional athletes. I'm not a professional athlete, but it's always, you know, what else can he do to get out of this slump, work harder, do this and do that. And
sometimes it's nothing.
And then personally, I have the experience, I worked really hard on my game all summer long, and I just kept getting worse and worse. And finally, I got... all right, I don't have time for it. Don't do anything for a month and play much better when I actually do finally get back to it.
That is a silver lining, I would say, because I personally was a little bummed when I woke up this morning.
I think a lot of the tier ones
were. That we're not getting ready for game three of the NLCS, but at least Ben got to go.
Well, that's what's a silver lining. It's there's obviously the giant dark cloud. There's a tiny little lining around the cloud that is a positive that goes with the big, much more large negative. That's the expression. That's how it works.
For you.
For me.
Right.
My silver lining.
Oh, I thought you meant I thought all the tier ones are going to be like, oh, thank God.
Thank God.
It hurt, but now it hurts a little bit less because I'm just glad that Ben got a round of golfing.
It's my personal. You probably all have one out there as well. A silver lining. What's your silver lining to the Padres playoff exit?
I will tell you. And we talked about this off the air the other day, man. Finished up some production on Monday and walked out to the elevator together. And I said, "Any sense of relief?" And Ben said, "Yeah, I'd be lying to you if I didn't say that there was a small sense of relief." And I said, "Yeah, it's a weird. I don't know that it was relief because that would imply that you were like relieved that they're out of it, right?" But I did wake up Saturday and realize, okay, so I love. That's the thing is, I don't want to. Don't conflate this with I don't love broadcasting. I love it more than anything in the world. It's the best gig ever. But that day I was supposed to go into work and do a show with you had they won. The next day I had to fork out, God only knows, for a ticket or two to the game and then figure out how to get into the game last night. You know, we're talking a couple grand here. It saved me. I would do it in a heartbeat though, but there was just that sense of like, I don't have to stress about this anymore. And the games themselves were just horrific. They're horrifically stressful. And it really took a toll on me. My wife said to me the other day, she goes, you haven't really been in your normal routine of walking and working out and stuff. I go, my quote was, and it later out, I go, look, I have never taken care of myself during the playoffs, and I never will. That was my quote. And she started dying laughing. I go, I'm unable to be the normal me. She goes, you really are a PRIC during the playoffs. And I said, yeah, I really am. I'm snippy. I'm snappy. Again, I've said it many, many times. The only way I prefer to watch the playoffs is in a cabin by myself. Locked away where I can and scream and yell and break stuff if I have to. So in that sense, yeah, there was a little bit of like, all right, man, I can get back to being a, you know, semi-decent father and husband and coworker and everything else. But it still hurts,
yeah,
man.
Well, I mean,
it definitely
does. The playoffs get us all out of our routines.
Oh,
I mean, when we talked
time.
To Jesse yesterday, he said, yeah, I got to get back to my exercising. And it's not that we wouldn't have happily delayed it all for a couple more weeks to see the Padres get to and win the World Series. That would have been the best, the absolute best. But, you know, talking about silver linings, yes, the games were very stressful. We build our lives around them every day. Even the off days seem to be just built around looking ahead to the next day.
Yep.
You know, for me, obviously, it does mean a lot of extra work in terms of, you know, extra days at TV, extra days at radio. Who knows what kind of travel might have been involved.
The unknown,
yeah.
of like, where are we going to be? Do we need to be somewhere? Are people going to come? Like, it's a lot, man. But listen, I trade it all for a World Series in a heartbeat.
Of course.
Today, and one of the guys, I mean, look, today is actually National Bosses Day. So we need to give a shout out to our bosses. We have two bosses. One is Michael Valenzuela. Michael, happy Bosses Day to you. Michael recently, he's a very thoughtful guy. He heard me talking on the air about my sleep issues, and he uses a mouthpiece. So he actually went and ordered me a mouthpiece, and I got it. I did the molding and everything. Doesn't work. I can't sleep with it. So thank you for the effort. It didn't work. I'm sorry. Michael, I fear there's no hope for me, but
I thought maybe the mouthpiece would be good for you because you like chewing on things normally. So
what I do, here's what I do. At night, I get in bed, I put it in my mouth, I chew on it furiously, then I spit it out right before I go to sleep.
Wow.
So I do use it, but I just can't sleep with it because the spit pools in your mouth. You're like this. So you're laying there, you got your mouthpiece in, and you go... And if you roll over on your side, the spit just runs out the side of your mouth.
Are you a side sleeper anyway?
I'm a side sleeper and a face
sleeper.
Doesn't
the spit drool out anyway?
No.
I hate that when you're sleeping and you wake up in the pool on your pillow.
Yeah,
of your own,
it doesn't happen to
spit
me.
That's just dripped out. That doesn't happen.
No, it does if I have the mouthpiece in. So, Michael, thank you for being a great boss. Thank you for always caring about us. I really do appreciate it. Now, let's get to our other boss. Adam R. Klug. I told you guys about the phone call I got from him the other day, didn't I? So he calls me. And
you get many phone calls from him. They all run together.
They all do. So he calls me the other day. Adam R. Klug does. He says, hey. I go, hi. Just wanted to thank you for all your hard work. No problem. Your creativity. Yeah, no problem. How much you care. Yeah, that's no problem. It's the job. I love it. Is that it? Actually, no, it's not it. I go, what is it? He goes, you know, he tried to bread me, this SOB. He goes, you know, I don't get much involved in your content. I go, that's debatable. All right, number one, that's debatable. You always have some sort of comment about our content. He goes, but I was listening this morning and I thought you went a little too far when you talked about the Dodgers players bumping wieners. I go, how? And he goes, well, I'm thinking about like kids in the car. I go, well, they did it. He goes, what do you mean? I go, they did it. Mm. They bumped the tips of their wieners together. And after Kike hit a home run, he goes, I've not seen that. I go, hold on. I said, you didn't see that celebration. He goes, no. And I go, the whole planet saw it, including the little kids that you're so concerned about it. They all saw it on TV. I didn't see it.
It was just like a fist bump or an elbow bump, but they did it with their groinal regions.
Yeah, they just went and, so, but we all saw it. Everybody on the, on the planet saw it.
Absolutely happened.
So he goes, I just think that's a little, I go, Adam, I'm literally editorializing. What was I supposed to say? Penis? They bumped their penises together. I actually tried to dumb it down for little kids by saying wiener. So I go, they did it. I go, hang on. Are you on your phone? All right. So I go, because of course I have it saved. Of course I have it saved in my phone. I go, give me 3 seconds. So I send it. He's got an Android, so it takes 15 minutes. So finally it comes through. He goes, just like this. Oh, I take it back then. I go, dude, do you really think that I made that up? I wouldn't just make it up. You can't make stuff. It literally happened. So he's like, oh, wow. I go, yeah, it was very jarring. It was jarring to everyone.
I don't care how they want to celebrate.
I don't either.
I think it looks kind of dumb, but that's fine. It's how they do it as a team, whatever they want to do. What drives me crazy is still every Dodgers fan still in my social media chat.
All new, dude.
Just talking about, if the Padres weren't just so obnoxious, you know, then there would be no reason to complain. I'm like, the Padres team that is obnoxious. You don't watch your own team. No one understands that to other teams, your team is just as obnoxious as every other team.
But you do it right the right way.
Right.
Right. And that's the thing that makes me sometimes feel like I'm living in a sim. You know, when I see it, I'm like, are we watching the same? We're watching the same thing, aren't we? We're watching the celebration in the dugout. We're watching the dancing and like, you guys are just gritty, head down, mouth shut guys. I don't think so. Which, by the way, it's okay that you're that way. It's absolutely okay. But you can't. You can't also say that we're different when we're really not. So that I'm with you, Benny, 100%. The other thing I've realized too, the Dodger fans they get real mad about one thing and one thing only. When you watch their games, they don't want anybody but them watching or commenting on their games. They hate it that you're watching. Now, we happen to cover baseball for a living. That's what we do. We're going to talk about baseball. If there's baseball on, we're talking about it. So just know going in tonight, I'm absolutely going to watch the games tonight because that's what I do. I watch baseball and I'll comment on them. Good, bad, ugly, whatever. But Adam, happy Boss's Day to you. Thank you for admitting that you were wrong. And I was right.
By the way, Adam silver lining, he took yesterday and today off, I believe.
He did. That's his silver lining.
Silver lining the exit for the playoffs.
I wanted to wish him a happy Boss's Day in person, but I guess I can't.
Not going to be here.
Because he's not here. So, anyway.
It's funny, I knew it was National Boss's Day because yesterday I put it on the rundown in the afternoon when I was getting a little bit of work done. And then about 4:30, my wife came home from work. And she goes, hey, do you have $20 on you? I go, yeah.
Yeah.
Here you go. Gave her a $20 bill. She goes, thanks. It's National Boss's Day tomorrow. And I go, you're going to give her a 20?
Yeah, fresh 20, cash. always a good gift.
It was a Seinfeld episode. She goes, no, Vivian's going to get coffee. I'm chipping in for coffee for all of our bosses. I go, oh, that's perfect.
The chip in.
Here's a nice, cool $20. Here's
$20.
But the idea of we just give Adam and Michael each $20.
I've got in my wallet. I've had it for a while. I've got a $100 bill. I'm not giving it to either of them.
No,
neither of them are getting my
$120 I have today.
I got one of them. If you guys want to cover the other,
just go put a $20.
Oh, yeah, I got a couple $20s.
Go put a $20 on Michael's desk. We could put it on Adam's, but he's not here.
He's not here.
He's not going to be here.
Although he's listening
be there tomorrow.
He may surprisingly show up today.
Wait, did you really leave it on my desk? Fine, I'll come in. This guy's unbelievable.
Oh, my Lord. There.
I'm fine. I'm coming. It's so good. Well, enjoy your day off, Adam. And Michael, I'm sure we'll see you around here. Thank you guys for being excellent bosses and letting us, you know, have fun at your expense sometimes.
We'll set the menu on still a big league Wednesday, even though Padres season is done. Baseball season does continue, and we will have our usual guest. We'll tell you all about it when we come back. Kelly's got traffic, and then we are off and running on a Wednesday. Good to have everybody here. Tier 1s, thanks for getting up early with us. Paulie, Woodsy, I'm Ben on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Had a conversation late in the show yesterday about Kyle Higashioka and the Padres catching situation in 2025. We're going to continue kind of going through an early look at the Padres offseason questions and moves they may make during the next few months for AJ Preller as he looks to retool the team for 2025. Today in our next segment, we're actually going to be focusing on the shortstop position and looking at, you know, Xander Bogaerts. Is he the guy coming back, or do the Padres need to move someone from a different position or sign someone else? But the more I thought about Kyle Higashioka, the more I kind of realized that he's one of the most, I think, important guys to the Padres to try to re-sign. Obviously, there's a price tag on everything, and, you know, you have to make the hard decision sometimes based on all of your needs, but it really is a position that there's not a lot of options out there, and there's not a lot of internal options, and he did such a good job that feels to me, Woods, like Kyle Higashioka is worth a little bit of a risk based on what we saw from him last season. You know, he's never really gone into a year knowing maybe that he's the starting guy, can kind of mentally prepare for that in spring training. And I don't know which way that goes for Kyle Higashioka, but everything about him has told me he may deserve that opportunity late in his career here to actually be the quote unquote everyday starter behind the plate for a team.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I can argue with you there. Yeah, C20 Moreno says he's 34. I think he's actually 35. So, you talk about a risk, but again,
he's not the catcher of the future.
No.
You have your catcher of the future in the minor leagues.
You do.
He'll be 35 in April.
35 in April. Okay, so 34 right now, 35 when the season starts. Certainly not a death knell for catchers. He's in really good shape. Caught a lot of innings for us this year. Had some big hits for us this year. Handled the pitching staff pretty well. I think the weird late season catcher's interference bit was like the only black mark on his resume as far as I'm concerned. But he seems to fit in really well here. He seems to be really beloved in that clubhouse as well. And, you know, while you can't just run back the exact same team that you have this year, you do need to make tweaks. There do need to be some decisions made. I do think that there are some pieces, some of the free agents that are out there that you could bring back. I think he's one of them. I think he's one of them for me.
To me, Kyle Higashioka has the temperament to be the kind of catcher that can lead a team on a deep playoff run. Now, I don't think he's ever going to be an all-star.
No.
Behind the plate. He's not going to be one of the best defensive catchers, but he's also not hurting you when he's back there. You know, he's calm, he's steady, hits some home runs, you know, bottom of your lineup. Catches a good game, works well with the pitchers. You could do a lot worse than Kyle Higashioka behind the plate.
Yeah, we've seen it.
And, you know, not that I'm asking, you know, Kyle to take, the San Diego quote-unquote discount, but clearly he seemed to thrive coming back to California, you know, from Southern California, seemed to like it here. He probably has a reason to want to stay. Now, he has a bigger reason to want to cash in for as much as he can. This is his probably only chance he will ever have in his career.
Certainly his best chance.
To cash in with a payday. So if someone else goes, we're willing to overpay for Kyle Higashioka, then he's going to have to go.
Sure.
But to me, you know, his value to the Padres is higher than any other team. If he goes anywhere else, he's got to learn an entirely new pitching staff. You got to pretty much start from scratch.
He did it here, so I mean,
he did it, and he can. But you're going to have to prove yourself to a new team. You're going to have to, you know, prove yourself to a new fan base. This is a nice spot for Kyle, and I'm sure that's part of his off-season equation in deciding what he wants to do and where he wants to be in 2025.
Yeah, I mean, I think as long as it's a fair offer and He talked yesterday about Victor Caratini getting $6 million a year. And you know, you saw him in the playoffs hitting in like the five hole. I mean, it was just crazy to see. But, you know, they needed more offense than they had in Martin Maldonado. So they went out and they got Victor Caratini, who provided a little bit more offense. But Kyle Higashioka, to me, seems a natural fit, a guy to bring back, and a guy that I'm not going to be bummed if they do. I will be pretty bummed. In our mind, too, obviously I see every day the tweets come out about Ethan Salas down playing in the Fall League. And the offense is great. It's awesome to see. You know, here's a double from Salas. Oh, look, this is, you know, another double. He rips a single. It's fantastic. It's the Fall League. Jacob Marcy hit, you know, his OPS was like 1,100 in the Fall League. So what really excites me is his defense. And in our minds, I think you look at Kyle Higashioka and say, yes, you are the bridge. You're the bridge to Ethan Salas, who will be ready in, if not a year, 2 years. Then it's Ethan Salas' time here. He's going to get a chance to sink or swim. Luis Camposano still on your roster. I think if you sign Kyle Higashioka, you bring those two cats back. You got Brett Sullivan down there. Whatever. You know what I'm saying? Like, you still have a little bit of depth. I believe there's another catcher down there that they like as well. I can't remember his name right now, but they have depth at that position. You know, AJ Preller loves catchers, and he seems to hit on one every year. So that's the thing. But you know, remember when he hit on Gary Sanchez? And they keep giving Campy these chances to earn the position. He never really does. And then they always find a spare part. So maybe that's the plan moving forward, too. He's never really had a problem doing it.
Yeah, I actually get the sense that if Ethan Salas had to catch in the big leagues, for whatever reason,
he could.
That defensively, he probably would hold his own in the big leagues. I do think that he would struggle badly offensively. And not that you can't have a catch. You can have a catcher who's hitting .220. It's fine. I just feel
like Austin Hedges.
I feel like, you know, he might be at the, you know, 150 level with like two home runs, and that's kind of a lineup hole that you don't want to have on the big league level. Kyle Higashioka, perfect. You know what? You're going to run into some, you know, 10 to 15 home runs if he can do that again. 17 this year was probably way beyond expectations, but you get something like that and decent catching, that's not a bad combination.
He's never hit less than 10. It's 10 every single year. He's like Manny with his 30 homers and 100 RBI. He hits 10 every year. You know you're going to get 10 out of him, and some pretty good defense and a really good clubhouse guy.
All right, we'll look at a little bit at shortstop coming up in our next segment. Talk about game two of the American League Championship Series last night. The Yankees.
What a weird one, man.
Seem like they are on the verge. I mean, at this point, you know, whoever wins, Rob Manfred has won. Likely going to be Yankees against either Dodgers or Mets. So, TV ratings will be high. They already are high. Did you see that the Padres game five, they came out with that? 7.5 million viewers on Fox, the most watched game since 2017. And that doesn't even count. I have no idea what the TV numbers were like in Japan, but people in Japan were saying this is probably going to be the most watched American playoff game ever with Yu Darvish pitching against Yamamoto. So big numbers for MLB. They're very happy. They're rolling in it right now during the playoffs. We're just all going to have to be subjected to the giant markets of New York / Los Angeles the rest of the way. We'll play Take on Woods at 7:10. We got more tickets to Orville Peck at the Calco's Credit Union Open Air Theater to give away. Don't do this at 7:20. And then on a Big League Wednesday, we will talk playoffs and more. Adam Jones will join us at 7:35. Brett Boone will make his weekly appearance at 8:35. Paulie's got some Rindle Report headlines. Maybe get a little football. We had another trade of a wide receiver. We talked about Devontae Adams yesterday. And then Amari Cooper got traded later in the day as well. Running back got traded as well, so there's some football news we can get to. And then we'll turn things over to Annie and Elston at 10 o'clock. So there's the menu for you on a Wednesday.
Let's eat.
I was just talking about how maybe Kyle Higashioka a little more important to the San Diego Padres in 2025 than even maybe my first thought was. And all of our thoughts will evolve as the offseason goes.
Certainly.
And, you know, as soon as AJ Preller makes one move, it kind of changes the equation for what else is coming. But right now, at this moment, I feel like the Padres would also, it would be in their best interest to explore their shortstop options beyond Xander Bogaerts.
Interesting.
And we will discuss that right after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. All right, so, you know, clearly Xander Bogaerts is serviceable at shortstop. And, you know, it does make a lot of sense that he can just stay there and then, you know, bide his time for a couple of seasons at short. He's not going anywhere. Let's all just accept that fact, that one way or another, Xander Bogaerts is likely staying in a Padres uniform and hopefully being a productive member of the Padres for several years to come. And then, you know, Leodalis DeVries, who is the top, internally at least, the top prospect for the San Diego Padres. Ideally, he is on a Jackson Merrill trajectory, and in a couple of years, you know, comes down and, you know, the defense looks like it is on point. And if he can hit from that switch hitting perspective, he becomes your shortstop in a couple of years, takes over for Xander. There's a lot of logic to that. I'm not going to deny it, Woods. I mean, is that kind of the path that you would take if you were AJ Preller and looking at your shortstop position for 2025/2026?
You know, there's really no way to know, but I do think that that's the one that makes most sense. The one that you can, I guess, explain the easiest, right? You paid Xander Bogaerts a tremendous amount of money, $25 million a year, essentially, to be your shortstop, and probably was an unnecessary move.
I disagree with that.
Can't do anything about it now.
I don't think they paid him to be the shortstop. I think they knew right away that Xander's future with the Padres was not going to be as a shortstop.
The future.
They prepared. They had to actually, like, relent and to sign him, say, all right, at least for the first season, you get to be the shortstop. But that tells me that from the very beginning, the Padres did not see him as a shortstop long-term in the organization.
It's weird that you signed him then. You know, it's weird that you committed that much money to a guy that you were really unsure of what his position was going to be, you know, other than moving him to second base, which was the only way you can describe his move to second base was fine. It was fine. I mean, it was, yes, we tip our hat to Xander for doing that. I know it was not an easy thing for him. You could see the frustration on his face, but one of the guys, I think, that said, I gotta focus and not, you know, piss and moan about this. I just got to do it. I have to do it. And it was fine. Like, it didn't crush you, you know? It may not have been the best thing for him, numbers-wise. And then, of course, he got hurt when he came back and hit okay. Didn't do much in the playoffs. But, you know, look, at the end of the day, he's going to be the square peg in the round hole for a while. You know what I mean? And so we just talked about Higashioka being a bridge for Salas. I think I'm okay with Xander being a bridge for Leo, you know? But again, there's zero proof that Leodalis DeVries is going to be able to come up and be a big leaguer yet. He just turned 18.
Obviously, there's zero proof, which is even more reason why perhaps it's a better idea to explore other options at shortstop. And the more I think about it, it's possible that Ha-Sung Kim may still be the best option out there for the San Diego Padres. I don't know what he's going to cost. I really don't. You know, I've heard 9 figures potentially for a Ha-Sung Kim deal, and I would have, as I think most Padres fans, even the ones that don't care too much about what the payroll level is, that gives me pause to think about a 9-figure salary for another shortstop. You know, especially one that has had mixed results offensively for the San Diego Padres in a season, and even defensively last year. But I don't think you close the door. I think there should be conversations with Ha-Sung Kim about what it would take to bring him back. You know, maybe not aggressively going after him early in the offseason, but if he's one of these guys, and we've seen how the free agent market plays out, there will be 2 or 3 giant signings early, and then it'll go quiet, right? I mean, the winter meetings will probably be somewhat dead as they've been the last few years. No one's going to sign over Christmas. It's going to be January all of a sudden. People will start reporting to spring training, and there will still be lots of free agents on the market, good ones. And I get the sense that Ha-Sung Kim might be one of those guys who is, like, looking for that big deal, and it's not coming for him. In, you know, it's getting to be February, well, and all of a sudden maybe the price tag changes a little bit and brings the Padres back into the conversation.
Well, if he's a guy that's looking for that big deal that might not come, he certainly hired the right agent in Scott Boras this offseason, which, again, you know, you hire Scott Boras, you're going for the jugular, which he's absolutely within his rights to do. The projections that I saw for him, 5-year deal worth $63 million, That is what? That's one, that's about 15 a year, something like that. No, I got a guy, $24 million that I can put at shortstop right now. And I can go out and use that money to get some other things that I need. I love Kimmy. I do. But, you know, you got to make these decisions, I think. And, you know, had he been playing lights out defense and hitting, before he got injured, Ben, yeah, it's a different story. And if his agent wasn't Scott Boras, it's probably a different story.
Does it make a difference to you? I was just looking up FanGraphs and defensive runs saved. And even though he didn't have enough to qualify at the position, if you include all second basemen, Xander Bogaerts was number six in the league at second base. He was, metrically at least,
top 10,
a really good second baseman. He was not at shortstop, but a really good second baseman. And that's,
yeah, top six, I
and
think
that,
is
and
fair.
That, and that's before he's even had, you know, a full year to get acclimated to the position. To me, Xander Bogaerts could be a top second baseman in the league for the next 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, a better than serviceable one for sure.
Which means, you know, you either have Xander playing out of position now at shortstop and, you know, struggling. I mean, he probably wouldn't characterize it that way, but I think the Padres would. Xander at shortstop is kind of out of position where they see him. Or you get him where, and you figure out something at shortstop. So now what are the other options? If you can't sign a free agent, you've got your internal options. You've got Fernando Tatis Jr.
Not an option anymore.
You've got Jackson Merrill.
The Merrill one is very interesting, and it's just sports radio fodder in my mind.
I view him and Tatis kind of in the same. Either they're both able to go back, or neither of them are able to go back.
Because of the injuries that have accumulated in Fernando Tatis Jr.'s body, I think that ship has sailed. Could he do it? Yeah, he could do it. He's a superstar. Oh, he could absolutely do it. But I think because of the stress reaction, because of the shoulder, because of all of those things, I think Fernando Tatis Jr. is your right fielder, and it's okay. It's okay. The Dodgers had to finally suck it up and say, we got to get Mookie back out to the outfield, where he's excellent playing right field. It's okay to be a right fielder and be Fernando Tatis Jr. for the rest of your career and try to stay healthy, because we need that kid for 150-plus games. The 2 months off, 2 months injured here and there is tough. You saw what he can do in the playoffs. He's a superstar of epic proportions. Moving him back to shortstop, as much as he would 1,000% sign up for it, I just, the risk versus reward, it doesn't work for me.
I agree with you. I think,
but
someone
Merrill
who
at 21,
has had shoulder surgeries, the last thing you want are those dives left and right constantly.
Constantly.
Not that he doesn't ever dive in the outfield, but
sure,
way, way less than you would in the infield. And I think you're right. I think the ship, I mean, he's a platinum glove winner in right field.
Correct.
There's so many reasons not to move Fernando Tatis Jr. The only reason to move him is because process of elimination. That's not a reason to move a guy.
No.
I think Jackson Merrill, he has shown the ability to be an everyday posting player already in his career. You could have that conversation about moving Jackson Merrill. You'd have to find someone else to play center field. The last option, you don't want to spend a ton on Ha-Sung Kim or another high-priced free agent. You don't want to move either of your outfielders back to shortstop. You could just try to find a really good defensive, cheap second baseman. You know, the Nick Ahmed types of the world, and go, it's not going to be our best offensive position, but we're going to have a really solid defender at shortstop. We're not going to pay a ton for it, and we're going to hope that we get enough offense out of the rest of our lineup that it's a net positive. And I wouldn't be shocked if the Padres go down that road in 2025 either.
I don't know why you don't just go Manny at third, Xander at short, Crony at second for a while. Like, let Jake Cronenworth play second
base. But Crony's a better first baseman. Xander's a better second baseman. I hate the domino effect of moving people to places where they're not as good on the diamond, when you could have two guys who are in their best places on the diamond and then replace the spot where you really need someone else.
Go get a first baseman.
You could do that as
go
well.
Go get a first baseman. And Jake Cronenworth for $10 million. $10 million, a two-war player, $10 million
a
year.
In that sense, I might play Jake at short then.
Maybe.
Over Xander, if that's the case. I really want Xander at second base going forward.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know, man. And I don't, you know, again, I don't know what this organization is going to do. It would throw a huge monkey wrench into it if they said, all right, Jackson, like, what if Jackson Merrill, just spitballing here, Jackson Merrill says, yeah, I'd love to re-sign here long-term as a shortstop, drafted me as. Could he make the transition back to short? No problem.
You know, 21 years old. When you say that, that sounds really, you know, like prima donna for a guy who's only had one season. But it's absolutely his right to say that. It's his career.
His career.
And it's his life. And if he wants to play shortstop, I promise you there are some teams out there that would happily let Jackson Merrill play shortstop. If, you know, the Padres were willing to trade him to one of those teams, you know, if he wants to be on the Padres, that might not be the avenue, but he doesn't have to sign a long-term contract here. If the Padres
absolutely does not.
Don't want him to play shortstop. Now, he clearly loved playing for the Padres.
Correct.
Last
he said, I want to be here forever.
And he said that, but if he did want to play shortstop, it is, you can't get mad at him for going, no, you know what? I don't want to sign a long-term contract because I feel I'm a shortstop and that's where my future lies. And if the Padres aren't willing to do that, there could be problems. Absolutely. You're right.
I mean, the names out there, free agent shortstops in 2025. Willy Adames, number one, he's gonna get paid. Ha-Sung Kim is number two. Miguel Rojas, hard pass. He is beaten up. Paul DeJong, Kevin Newman, San Diego guy, I do believe.
The only thing that gives me the most pause from what you guys have talked about over the last 10 minutes was Ben talking about a defensive-minded, weaker offensive shortstop.
You don't want that at short.
We had that in center field, another power position, you know, right up the middle, with Trent Grisham for 3 years.
Yeah, it was horrible.
He was defensive wizard, and he was hovering around 200.
Yeah.
And I kept saying, and I'm so glad we're past that now, because I kept saying championship teams don't have that type of player in the starting lineup for 150, 160 games.
You say that, but they got further in the playoffs with Trent Grisham than they did with this team.
That's true.
And Jackson Merrill in center.
That's true.
Yeah, well, they also had Juan Soto and Blake Snell.
I get it.
And Josh.
No,
you know what I mean?
I get it.
That was a different team.
It was. It
totally
was. But you can obviously advance, you know, deep and make a run.
And then what happened in the NLCS? He went completely ice cold.
You gotta, you know, listen, you're gonna have to build your team the way that you want it and the way that you feel is gonna get you the most wins. I just did, it's funny, man. Kyle Bodie, who runs Driveline, tweeted something out the other day. And it's a paper that a guy wrote. Now, me trying to read this was like trying to read Greek. I mean, it is as involved as you could ever imagine. I'll retweet it for the smart people out there. Benny, I think you would actually like it. And what it talks about is potentially positional flexibility being the most important thing for building a championship club.
Hmm.
They had the most. Better than pitching, better than relief pitching, better than a super pen, better than this, better than that. Positional flexibility, numero uno. Kyle Bodie has retweeted it like three times. Again, I opened this thing and I started reading it. And it was written a while ago. So the names that you'll read in there are not names of guys that are currently playing. But you read it and you go, oh, okay. And, you know, take the numbers and stuff out of it. I didn't get it. I mean, it was a bunch of equations and stuff. It looked like Good Will Hunting. But I was reading kind of the finer, trying to read the broad strokes of it. And that's basically what it boils down to is positional flexibility. And not just, oh, he can go play first in a pinch. It's like, no, no, no. He's plus here. He's plus here. He's plus here. He's plus here. You saw Dave Roberts doing it the other night, moving guys based on the batter and things like that. Those, again, according to one of the smartest baseball minds out there, that is like the number one thing that you need to build a championship roster.
I mean, it sounds good, but in reality, you're also dealing with personalities.
Sure.
You know?
That's
Xander
thing.
Bogaerts has positional flexibility. I'm sure he could play first base if you needed him to. He'd be competent there as well. But are you wrecking him when you're doing that? I mean, the move to second base was not an easy one for Xander emotionally, mentally. You know, for him, that's tough. And you've got to have the right kind of players with positional flexibility as well.
So here's what it's called, process flexibility in baseball, the value of positional flexibility. And it was written in 2018. And it's pretty interesting stuff. So, yeah, and one of the other another smart guy in baseball wrote, so is this, would you say this is the most important baseball strategy research of the last decade? And Kyle said, yeah, nuts, right? Like, nuts to think about. But that's definitely something that I think they need to think about as they build their roster for next year.
We got a lot of conversations this offseason. That was a good one about shortstop. When we come back, is Aaron Judge going to get locked in? Could that be the ticket to a Yankees World Series title? We'll talk about the ALCS and play a little Take on Woods. Coming up next here on 97.3 The Fan.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.